Welcome to Torat Imecha Haftorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Michal Horowitz, and today we'll be studying the Haftorah of B'Shalach, what happens in Parshas B'Shalach, a number of topics, but B'Shalach is the most famous for Kriyat Yamsuf, the splitting of the Reed Sea. The Bnei Yisrael are trapped, the sea is before them, the Egyptians are behind them, the Bnei Yisrael call out to Hashem, call out to Moshe. Moshe stretches his staff over the sea. A strong eastern wind blows that night. The sea splits, the Bnei Yisrael cross through on damp land, the Egyptians are drowned in the sea. And in Perek Tesvav, we have the beautiful Shira of the Bnei Yisrael, that they sing song of thanks as Yashu Moshe Bnei Yisrael. So Shira Zos Hashem Vayomru Leimar, Perek Tesvav, Psukim Aleph through Yates, and then Miriam Hanaviah, Perek Tesvav, Psukim Chav through Chav Aleph, leads the woman in song. We also have some other important events in Parshas B'Shalach as well. And Perek Tes Zayin, the man falls for the first time, and we learn a lot about Shabbos. And Perek Tes Zayin, and Perek Yud Zayin of note is Mechames Amalek. However, the Haftorah is connected to Shiras Hayom, the miraculous splitting of the Reed Sea, and the Shira that the Bnei Yisrael sang. Haftaras B'Shalach comes from Sefer Shoftim. I was actually smiling when I sat down to prepare this because of those of you who learned Sefer Shoftim in Nachyomi together. We learned these prakim together when we went through Nachyomi. Haftaras B'Shalach. Okay. Ashkenazim, Chabad, Sfardim, Temani all basically read the same thing. Ashkenazim and Chabad begin Perek Dal Pasuk Dalid, Sefer Shoftim. Udevara Isha Nevia. Esha Slapidos, he shafta as Yisrael, Beisahi. Devorah was a woman who was a prophetess. She was the wife of Lapido. She would judge the Israelites at that time. This is the beginning for Ashkenazim and Chabad. V'hi Osheva tachat Tomer Devorah, and she sat under Devorah's palm tree, Bein Harama, Ubein Bein El, Bahar Ephraim. It gives us the location of where she judged. V'yalu Eda, B'nei Yisrael Mishpah. The children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Temani began last pasuk of Perek Dalet, and that is second to last pasuk actually of Perek Dalet. Vayichna Elokim b'yamahu es yavin melech Kanan lifnei b'nei Yisrael. On that day, God subdued Yavin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. We're going to talk about what the Torah is about. Yamanites begin there. Vayitelech Yad b'nei Yisrael haloch v'kashal Yavin melech Canaan ad asher chrisu es Yavin melech Canaan. And the hand of the children of Israel grew harsher and harsher against Yavin, the king of Canaan, the oppressor, until they destroyed him. And then Sfardim begin Perakei Pasuk Aleph v'tashar Devorah u'barak ben Avinoam b'yamahu leimor and Devorah and Barak ben Avinoam sang this song of praise to God. Parakeh is known as Shiras Devorah. And it goes through Parakeh all the way to the end of the Shiras Devorah. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Kein Yavdu Kol Evech Hashem, just as Yavin and Sisera were destroyed, so too all your enemies should be destroyed, Hashem. This is the last Pasuk of the Haftorah. For Ashkenazim, Chabad, Sfardim, Temani, the end of Shiras Devorah. Va'ohavav Kitzeitz Hashem Ishkuburas, Va'ohavav Kitzeis Hashemesh Begvuraso, and those who love God should go like the rising sun in its strength. Vatishkod Haaretz Arbaim Shana, and the land was quiet for 40 years. So Sva Ahu, ready? Ashkenazim Chabad read a very long Haftorah, Perek Dalet and Perek He. Yam Temani and Sfardim read mostly Shiras Devorah. So this is obviously a very long Haftorah, and there's a lot going on. So what I have chosen to do is focus on an overview, and then we will have us go through a specific essay, a beautiful essay together that gives us insights and lessons from the Haftorah itself. Haftorah's B'Shalach, I am quoting from the Stone Edition, Chamisha Chumshei Torah, Art School of Mesora Publications. The events described in the Haftorah are strikingly similar to those of the Parsha. In both cases, Israel was suffering an oppressive ruler whose reign was becoming increasingly cruel. God sent a savior. The oppressors were humbled and destroyed by indisputable miracles. The nation was elevated to a new plane of recognition of God and devotion to his service. Finally, the prophet, who was the instrument of God's intervention, sang a divinely inspired song of praise. There is another similarity. Both cases illustrate the faith and holiness of Jewish women. In Egypt, Jochebed and Miriam were instrumental in saving the Jewish baby boys and the life of Moshe. And after Kriyat Yamsuf, it is the woman led by Miriam who were ready with their tambourines to sing their own song of praise. Vatikach Miriam Hanavia, Achur Arn, and Hatov Biyada, Vatitzena Kolanashim Mechore Betupim Ubim Cholo, 15:20. Because there was no doubt in the woman's mind that God would perform miracles for his people. In the Haftorah, Devar is the prime mover in the battle and in the song. Israel's history after Yoshua's conquest of Canaan took on an unhappy pattern. The people would slide into Avodah Zarah, idol worship, imitate their Canaanite neighbors. God's protection would be withdrawn. They would be subjugated by one or another of the Gentile nations that surrounded them. Finally, Israel would repent and pray. God would send a shofet, a judge, to defeat the enemy and restore Israel to its former grandeur. The Haftorah B'Shach deals with the period of King Yavin of Canaan and his general Sisera as the dominant powers. The people cried out for God's help, and Devorah the prophetess was sent as a savior. In her song, she describes the miracles that destroyed Sisera and his army. She mentions the contribution of the tribes who came heroically to join the battle. She castigates those other tribes who did not come to help for cowardice and unconcern. Her greatest praise is reserved for the Torah leaders who continue to inspire the nation, even when it was dangerous to travel the roads, but who carry the responsibility of Israel to God. In her final verse, Devorah turns the glaring light of truth on those who lack morality of Torah. Sisera's mother elicits our pity as she weeps for her missing son. How sad! But then her ladies comfort her. They weave fantasies of the innocent Jewish woman who are being tormented by Sisera and of the loot of the conquerors. The grieving mother was consoled by this thought. Fittingly, Devorah says, so may all your enemies be destroyed, Hashem. I want to go with you into a beautiful essay from the Sefer called Mitoch HaOhel HaHaftorot. Essays on the weekly Haftorah reading from rabbis and professors of Yeshiva University. In our series so far, we have quoted one time from here, and that was an essay by Rabbi Ezra Schwartz, also very beautiful, on Parsha Chayisara. Now we are going to an essay by Rabbi Gidon Shlosh, Haftorah B'Shalach, discerning the hand of God. Just personally, it's very nice. Rabbi Gidon Shlosh is my sister-in-law's first cousin. So I was very excited to see that he authored this essay. And it's a very beautiful piece. And Rabbi Gidon Shlosh has a very beautiful summary and also brings us beautiful lessons from the Haftorah. Parsha B'Shalach, writes Rabbi Shlosh, is by far one of the most exciting parashiyot in all of the Torah. I have to say they're all the most exciting. But every time I teach, I say, this is the most exciting parsha. Rabbi Shlosh says the same thing. It is here that we read of the Jewish people's dramatic crossing of the Red Sea, accompanied by Shirat Hayam from the depths of their soul. Am Yisrael sing song of praise and thanksgiving from the miraculous salvation from the Egyptian army. How fitting that the Haftorah perfectly parallels the Parsha. It is here that we read Shirat Devorah, the heartfelt song of the prophetess Devorah. In her Shira, she leads the Jewish people in praising God for saving them from the advancing troops of Sisera, the commander of the mighty Canaanite army. Who was Devorah? When did she live? What was her leadership style? Why was she an important figure in Jewish history? Those are all questions that Rabbi Gidon Shlosh asks. And then he answers, the story of Devorah is recorded in the book of Shoftim. This was a glorious period, spanning nearly 400 years, Shoftim, from the days of Yoshua until the period of Shmuel HaNavi. Devorah was from the tribe of Naphtali. She was the fourth of the Shoftim. She led the people around the year 1106 before the Common Era. How amazing is Tanakh? How amazing is our Masorah? We're going back and we're learning timely lessons from a Nevi'ah who lived more than 3,000 years ago. The Gemara records that Devorah was also one of the seven prophetesses in Tanakh, seven Nevi'ot, including Sarah, Miriam, Chana, Avigail, Chulda, Esther, and Devorah. God loved Devorah. The Haftorah tells us in the beginning that she is Esha Lapido, the woman of wicks. Esha Lapido means the wife of Lapido, but also means the woman of wicks. The Medrash explains she is named because she took time to prepare the wicks for the Mishkan. How do they lit the menorah not 8 nights a year? Every night of the year. In appreciation, the Gemara says, God says, Devorah, you have increased my light, so I will increase your light. You will shine as a guiding light for the Jewish people. Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch says Devorah was a woman of fiery enthusiasm and inspiring speech. She judged the people and encouraged them to Torah observance. She was a wise, a chachama, pious, tzadiket, and modest, tzanua woman. The Torah tells us, v'hi yoshevet tachat tomer. She sat beneath the tomer, the palm tree. The Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, she didn't meet people in the house. She sat outside when she judged. How amazing is this? To avoid issues of yichud with men. So the Pasuk specifically says she sat under a tree to tell us she didn't go inside. There was no seclusion. There was no issur of yichud. During the time that she became a judge, trouble was brewing for the Jewish people. Up till this point, the oppressors had been foreign armies. But now, the Israelite nation was overcome by the Canaanites, who lived directly in their midst. Sisera, who was a general to Yavin, king of Chatzor, a Canaanite king, would continuously mock the Jewish people. Sisera would say, "Where is your great God who saves you from suffering?" Rav Soloveitchik has a piece on this. He speaks about the Chilul Hashem in the time of the Holocaust, not related to the Torah, but that the Christians said during the Holocaust, "Where is your God? Where is your God who comes to save you? He has abandoned you." Rabbi Shlush writes that Sisera, the general of the Canaanite king, Yavin, would mock the Jewish people. "Where is your God who saves you from suffering?" This aggression prompted the Jewish people to cry out to God for salvation. As described in the Haftorah, Devorah receives a prophetic message that Barak ben Avinoam should wage war against his general Sisera. He notes that many commentaries suggest Barak was the husband of Devorah. Devorah instructs Barak to take 10,000 men to fight alongside him. Barak and his comrades would face an army in the hundreds of thousands. You know, Rabim biad ma'atim, tmeim biad tahorim, misham biad tzadikim. Devorah tells Barak, "Arise, confront Sisera. God has given him into your hands. God goes before you and fights for you." Barak follows her word, and God takes charge of the battle. He sends confusion upon the armies of Sisera. As Devorah recounts in her song, "When the stars appear at night, they radiate with such intensity, the soldiers overheat in their armor. They seek refuge along the banks of Nahal Kishon, where they hope to cool off. The shallow brook turns into raging waters and drowns the enemy army." Sounds very similar to our Parsha, of course. Seeing the army's demise, Sisera has to run for his life. Radak explains, Sisera not only ran for his life, but he didn't flee with any of his surviving soldiers, so he would not be detected. Now we come to another heroic woman of Tanakh. As he runs for his life, he approaches a group of tents. There is a young woman, Yael. She sees the panic-stricken general. She invites him into her tent. Yael offers Sisera milk. He becomes drowsy. And then the pasuk says, I just lost my place. Here we go. She takes him into the tent. She gives him milk. Vatichasehu basimicha. She covers him with a blanket. But the word basimicha, sin, mem, yud, chaf, hey. The commentaries explain if you change around those letters of simicha, not with a samich, okay? With a sin, it spells ko shemi. Shin mem yud chaf hei ko shemi. Here is my name. This indicates Yael did not want to sin with Sisera. It was God, ko shemi. There is my name, who is part of the plan to have Sisera go into Yael's tent. As he sleeps, Yael takes an iron peg from the tent, we know this, and hammers it into his face. So really, the Haftorah is about the salvation that God brought, but it's really also about the courageous woman of Am Yisrael, who act l'shem shamayim. How apropos for the Torat Imecha Haftorah series. Upon learning of the fall of Sisera, Devorah pours forth a most beautiful and poetic song of thanks to God. This is a moment of great salvation for the Jewish people. The Zohar tells us, Shirat Devorah is filled with the secrets of divine wisdom. And the Medrash says it's one of the great 10 songs in Tanakh and Jewish history. Rabbi Shlush points out there are many parallels, some of which we have pointed out, between Bishalach and the Haftorah. In both, the enemy leader denies the existence of God. God wages war on Israel's enemies from the heavens. God confuses the enemy camp. God drowns the enemy in water. God annihilates the enemy. The enemy leader survives, though temporarily in the case of Sisera. It is a woman who leads a song of praise, the song that followed the Israelites' victory, our work of poetry, and the songs visually appear in the Torah in a magnificent brick form on the page. And so, says Rabbi Gideon Shlosh, there are many lessons to be learned from this Haftorah. But the one I find especially meaningful, and I too, Michal Haaretz, find this so meaningful, is the importance of giving Shira to Hashem. Our sages tell us we learn from Shirat Hayam and Shirat Devorah. It is so important not to delay praising God and not to delay thanking Him for His kindness. Shira is unique because it emanates from the depths of our soul, writes Rabbi Shlosh. It allows our innermost feelings to burst forth. It is a demonstration of our longing to be close to God. How blessed we are, says Rabbi Shlosh, to live in a time we have so much to be thankful for. Especially noteworthy, although our homeland is surrounded by enemies, our people continue to thrive in our historic homeland. Isn't it remarkable to see the magnitude of construction taking place all across the land of Israel? Entire neighborhoods and cities have sprung up in the most barren of places. There are new roads, buildings, cranes at every turn. We are living in the days of Kibbutz Galiot, the beginning of the ingathering of the exiles, as we prepare for Mashiach and the building, Be'ezer Hashem, with Mashiach of Malchut Beit David and Bayit Shlishi. We must never take this for granted. We learn from Devorah and Shirat Hayam to give Shira every day that we are privileged to witness God's active fulfillment of His promise to return us to our homeland. Now we wait the opportunity to hear the final song, which will be sung by the Jewish people with the final redemption. May we merit to witness this miraculous moment. Amen. Amen. There's a lot to learn. Hashem will always come to our aid and destroy our enemies. Jewish women have a unique faith, bitachon, and tikva to trust that the salvation will come. Jewish women are heroines of our people and of the Bible, whether it is Miriam and Yocheved, whether it is Devorah and Yael. And ultimately, we must always give thanks to Hashem for the miracles, asanisim la'avo, seini bayami mahim, whether it was over 3,000 years ago, or bisman hazeh, in our day, in our time. I want to specifically note before I conclude and wish you a Shabbat Shalom that Haftorah Devorah is very meaningful to me personally. You have heard me speak about this in the past. My grandfather, Yitzhak Ben Moshe, Alav Hashem, my maternal grandfather, he was Nifter when I was only 4 years old. But we have his Holocaust memoirs, 7 pages of memoirs that were written in Yiddish, and my mother had them translated into English for us. And he writes that him and his wife got married at the end of 1939. December of 39, the Germans were already in Poland. And their daughter was born in January of 41. She was born the week of Parsha B'Shalach, and she was named Devorah after the Haftorah. My grandfather's first wife and his daughter, his first wife's name, we really recently discovered a picture of her, and her name was Reitza. And their daughter, Devorah, who was born in 1941, January, were both murdered in the war. And every time we come up to Parsha B'Shalach, I think of that. But it's really the triumph of Am Yisrael. It doesn't negate our pain through the exile, but it reminds us that Ozi v'zimraska v'ayihili v'yishua zekei v'ivam v'elokei aviv v'aromenu. I wish you a beautiful day, a Shabbat Shalom, kol tov, and thank you to all.